It was a little over 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks. We'll find out maybe the exact date when a consultant, I guess is how I would describe him, came from Milwaukee to Fargo to talk about homelessness and what that area had done to help mitigate some of the struggles and challenges that come along with that. I haven't had a chance to dive into what was presented, what the takeaway was, but I know somebody was there. He's in studio. Rocky Schneider is a friend of the show. He's with the Downtown Community Partnership. Had a great letter to the editor about the takeaways from this this conversation. Rocky, welcome back, man.
Yeah, Tyler, thanks for having me. It's, you know, this is such an important topic for everybody.
It is. It's one that you know, has a lot of people's attention because the perception, I think the numbers probably back it up, that it's a growing problem.
It is. You know, and Fargo's not alone in this. It's growing in pretty much every metropolitan area in the country, and downtown's usually on the front lines with that. And that's why we're taking a lead on this as well.
Why downtowns? Is it just the density of it? I know we talk about walkability in the good sense that, hey, you can get from, you know, one business to the next, so you can, you know, live there.
This is the easiest answer for me. Why downtown? Why not downtown? Everybody wants to be downtown. It's not just the homeless. People come downtown. It's the busiest outdoor path in the state of North Dakota. There's always something going on, always fun to people watch. So it's the same, you know, from top end to low end.
So I just found out that the Downtown Community Partnership hired a good person for the job.
There we go. Absolutely.
Making sure that they're promoting downtown. But there has been, I've been doing this job now for 6 years, and it seems over the last 2 years, the uptick in people that text in or call in about concerns they have in downtown based on that population has grown. And I know that there's been others that have said, well, yeah, there's this organization that does this, that, the other thing. But I think the bottom line is the need for change or need for something is there. It's growing.
Yes, the need's absolutely there. And James Matthey from Milwaukee that came in with the city really just spoke to the topic so well. And he spoke, you know, across, it's so easy to trigger people, right? But this is a tough topic to talk about. But he broached it to both our business community and to the advocates, you know, to prevent homelessness across the board, spoke the same language that if we're all working toward the same end result, which is, you know, less homelessness, you can ignore why you're doing it and get over that front end discussion so that we can all work toward a solution.
He presented Milwaukee County's plan to end chronic homelessness. I'm curious what the county, Milwaukee County plan was.
Yeah, you know, it's as simple as, it's called Housing First, which sounds like a no-brainer, but, you know, when you wake up and you sleep on the wrong side of the bed or something, you know, even Monday, daylight savings, right, can ruin all of our day. I mean, if you're trying to solve something serious like unemployment or a mental, you know, or physical ailment of some sort, and you're homeless, that's a tough task to ask somebody to do. So the idea between Housing First is if you put somebody in a stable living situation, then all of a sudden that next barrier, that next challenge they have in their personal life is a little bit easier. You can't ask somebody to solve a mental health crisis if you're also sleeping outside.
Right.
It's just too big of a barrier.
The Housing First, you're right, it seems simple. Like the concept it does, saying, look, shelter is one of those primal needs, right? Yeah. I mean, if you have a chart here, that's going to be at the top. You have food, shelter, and the list goes on there. But when you have a population that doesn't have much for resources, there, I mean, there's a reason why they're homeless. Not everybody's got the same reason. I mean, there's financial hardship. There's substance abuse. There's a variety of other reasons that might be a factor here. But ultimately, finances comes down to it. So if they can't afford housing, because it's something that we struggle with, how do you do Housing First then?
Yeah, you know, that's the most interesting thing I think Mr. Matthey talked to. And, you know, especially with my downtown business owners that we had our meeting with them, they kind of asked, well, doesn't this cost a lot of money? And he says, you don't understand how much you're spending already. These people aren't paying for their own health care or their own needs, right? When they have they're constantly living in crisis mode. So the police calls, the citations, going through the law enforcement process, the jail, you know, all these type of different things. It costs a tremendous amount of money of public dollars right now. Mm-hmm. So the Presentation Partners, which is a local advocacy group that really helps with homelessness, you know, they did a study of just 30 individuals that cost over $600,000 that were saved by using a Housing First program.
How many individuals?
30.
It's 600,000?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's $20,000 an individual, right? And if you think about how much rent is in a year, it's less than that, right? And so when you're talking about it, if you can save on, you know, the crisis calls to the emergency room or have police presence come out, maybe it leads to a citation that now you're paying for a, you know, justice and lawyers and the DAs and possibly jail. Like these costs just rack up and up and up. It's cheaper to put them in a house and have them help them solve their problems.
Well, and the ability to have that shelter, then, okay, well, with this comes some responsibilities I've got to assume.
Absolutely.
When it comes to this
you,
housing.
You can't
first.
Just put people in a house, right? Then you got to provide service to them. But what we found is with the service providers too, if you know where they're living, it's a lot easier to provide them service too, right? You're not trying to find them. You're not trying to convince them now to go across town to come in and get transportation to wherever your appointment is. You can go right to where they're living and they can get the best chance. Doesn't work for everybody, but it works for a lot of people.
So how do you go about doing this when we already said just a minute ago that affordable housing is something that we hear every year? We need more affordable housing. It's on repeat.
Absolutely.
And then I don't see enough being done to actually solve the affordability.
Yeah. You know, we definitely have an inventory issue.
Yeah, say supply
in Fargo, right?
Thing, yeah.
And so, I mean, that's part of it. One of the things I think we can help with the Downtown Community Partnership and my background as planning commissioner or with the home builders or whatever is they're working on a master lease program. So what it allows is that the city becomes the tenant. And so it can work with friendly landlords that will agree to provide not a whole building, you know, so you're not like factory warehousing the, you know, homelessness. Yeah. You're a scattered site across, you know, multiple different buildings. But then the city guarantees rent payment. They guarantee if damages, all these types of things. And then they can put people that are in need right into an apartment. You don't have to wait through all the checks and balances. So you can get them help on day one.
Well, you know, what's interesting, you bring that up. I had somebody that is a neighbor of mine asked about a situation that they saw, and I think it was out in the front yard. I don't need to give the location in town here, but it had the Fargo Housing Authority mm-hmm. out in the front, and this individual seemed as though that place wasn't being utilized. And they brought up, why don't we have those spots, the twin homes, whatever it might be, if they're just going to sit there empty, we're already paying for it through the Fargo Housing Authority, why not have some of the homeless population there? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, you know, the nice thing about Housing First and this master lease program, too, is it bypasses a lot of the regulatory hurdles. I mean, it's not just financial. It's like there's a lot of steps to the process that prevent the right steps from happening. So this sort of bypasses a lot of those.
Okay, so a little bit more sped up and yes. trying to get this transition done.
Yeah, and it's about, you know, all you see in the paper is, right, they cleared out the homeless shelters along the river and cleaned it up, which is great, needs to happen. You know, part of that is getting them in houses, but part of that then is activating the space. And then, you know, hopefully on the state level and the federal level, they're helping solve the problem as a whole, mm-hmm. right? And so we can just give them the best chance when they get there.
Rocky Schneider is our guest, Downtown Community Partnership, talking about the Housing First approach that was brought in a presentation from Milwaukee. It's Milwaukee County's plan to end chronic homelessness. What was the takeaway as far as the success? I mean, there's a reason why Fargo brought in James Mathey here. Did they have numbers to back up? You mentioned the 30 people, 600,000, but as far as a long term, because we get so short-sighted. That's why I bring this away. It's, oh, it's going to cost a lot to house, you know, do this, when in fact, if you think about the return on that upfront investment, well worth it on a lot of programs.
But yeah, I think they saw like a 93% reduction in homelessness and chronic homelessness in Milwaukee. You know, from my family that has a, you know, criminal justice, you know, areas, you know, you see the citations within the last 12 months. I think homeless population in Milwaukee had a 98% of them had some sort of citation that requires the DA and then, you know, all the court process, potentially jail and police involvement. It went down to like 9% within the next 12 months after being housed. So that just the going through the judicial process is so expensive. Lawyers are just ridiculously expensive. And so, you know, paying for them as the public, why aren't we paying for them to get help instead of just paying for the Band-Aid?
Yeah, there's that preventative care that, I mean, whether it's health care or some of these restitution, all that, it's cheaper upfront, the prevention side of this, and trying to mitigate that long term. I mean, a chronic illness, and then you're just that survival mode that you pointed out. So guess what? Any means necessary, just get up and go have that next day. What's the pushback? I mean, or what prevents this from actually happening here?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, so my board was invited, a number of people downtown, right wing, left wing, you know, across the aisle. And I looked at all of them, made them all kind of talk to the guy afterwards. It was consensus.
Really?
And that's tough in this day and age. So consensus that this is something we should do. Obviously, there's funding. I'd love to see some legislators step up and look at a pilot program this session about could we fund part of this and put them in housing and see if it reduces the public costs elsewhere. I think that would be great. You know, obviously funding is going to have to come from somewhere to get this program started. It's easy to talk about paying expenses over here, but shifting it from one department to another is not always easy in the budget process. So you got to prove it works here too.
Right. Yeah, that's why I'd ask. I mean, if this guy comes, that clearly there's a success here, and then to have that model, and of course people have opinions on where this came from at 35270. But the bottom line is at least there's an attempt to do something.
Yes.
Instead of just talking about it all the time. That's what I keep coming back to is we talk about affordable housing. We talk about growing homeless populations. And then that's all we do is talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I was hired 5 months ago now, I think. And there hasn't been a day where somebody says, how come we're not doing something? And we all, I mean, there's enough people that know things to try. And you're not 100% successful, but we can try things.
Well, and we don't have to reinvent the wheel if there's a plan that we can somewhat take and mold into our own.
Absolutely.
Rocky, what'd I miss on this?
You know, the Board of Health today, City of Fargo, on their YouTube channel, they had a 5-minute video of James Mathey sort of recap. I just suggest everybody watch that if you're interested.
Very good. Anything else before I let you get back on with your day?
Contact your elected officials. It's not just crazy season for the elections. They're out there for a reason. Get them to promise to solve all your problems now.
Yeah.
Easier now than later.
That's a great advice, yeah, because those doors are getting knocked on already, whether it's for this June local election or certainly the November election with those lawmakers, the legislators you're talking about.
Yeah.
Rocky, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Coming on in. Rocky Schneider, Downtown Community Partnership. Get your weather update from Two Tall Tom Szymanski. Your reaction at 35270. When we come back on After News Live.